AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We're back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Well, a survey of Minnesotans was released earlier this week that finds a large majority of Minnesota residents want to improve the campaigns that they just experienced. The survey was conducted in conjunction with St. Cloud State University and was commissioned by the Clean Elections Minnesota group. That is Clean Elections Minnesota. So joining us to talk about the survey and some of the reforms that were polled and a little more detail about some of these ideas that are going to be proposed is George Beck from Clean Elections Minnesota. Besides that, he's also the chair of the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board. He's a retired administrative law judge and current chair of Clean Elections Minnesota. George, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Absolutely. So looking at this survey, it looks like we have a lot of bipartisan supports for some pretty basic election integrity reform. So tell us about this survey and how it was conducted.
Well, we thought that there'd been not enough information on Minnesotans' opinions on some of these democracy issues. And there's quite a bit of data nationally on how people support these things like dark money disclosure. But we wanted something that we could educate the public with and hopefully to educate legislators next session. And so we commissioned the St. Cloud folks to include four of our questions in their annual fall survey. And they agreed to do that after we negotiated out the nature of the questions, and it came in very strong in support for some of the things that we've been urging over the past couple of years.
Yeah, I'd like to run through some of the questions that you asked on the survey, and let's start things off with dark money. An overwhelming 82% of Minnesotans agreed that all contributions to political campaigns should be publicly disclosed, while only 13% want to keep the current approach where those contributions remain private. By the way, I'd like to know who those 13% were on a side note. But anyways, what would a good public disclosure program look like in Minnesota? Tell us about that.
Well, in Minnesota, you can place ads, mailings, billboards, all of these electioneering communications things, and contribute to it without disclosing who the contributors are. And people are always surprised by this. It's unusual. 19 states have prohibited this from happening, but although legislation has been offered in Minnesota several times, it has never passed. So I can put up an ad that says, Senator Smith opposes or believes in gun control. And that may or may not be true because we don't know who's sponsoring the contribution. So they can say just about anything they want. This nearly passed a few years ago, but failed by a few votes. And, you know, the Senate's going to be awfully closely divided this next session. I think it's just one vote difference between majority and minority. And so, although it's going to be tricky, and it was last year, I'm thinking something might be possible. And because of the overwhelming percentage that favor this, and that's consistent with the national percentage, is always around 80%. Who think all contributions ought to be public.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It should be pretty obvious that we should know exactly who is paying for the political campaigns of our different candidates that are running for a public office. Hey, moving on to another question here, George, I want to talk about campaign spending limits, because on this survey question, a strong majority, about 55%, Think the U.S. Supreme Court decision that allowed unlimited political contributions to campaigns was wrong. That would be, of course, Citizens United. And that's actually 16% more than people who say they do support the Citizens United decision. So it's probably unlikely that Citizens United is going to be overturned anytime soon, at least at the federal level, given our current political and judicial makeup. But we probably could take some baby steps or even maybe do something at the state or the local local level. What do you think about that, George, in terms of trying to rein in our campaign spending limits under Citizens United?
Well, I agree with you that this is a long-term effort, no doubt about that. But Minnesota has not even taken a baby step, which would be to ask Congress to propose an amendment to reverse Citizens United. About 20 states have done that. And so we need to keep on with this and keep pressing Congress to do something about this. This is what has permitted super PACs to contribute millions of dollars in campaigns. And there's a large amount of this that comes from outside Minnesota. It has nothing to do with Minnesota voters. And it's simply a way that is to defeat what citizens want. What happens is that things get passed that the big contributors favor, and that's just a matter of fact. It's been demonstrated several times that you and I don't have the same influence with legislators that the big contributors do. So that's important. It's going to take a while. We have to keep working on it, and I firmly believe it's going to happen someday.
Yeah, I hope that happens sooner rather than later, but we got a long way to go, and we can certainly take some steps here in Minnesota, as you're saying. Speaking with George Beck, he is with the group Clean Elections Minnesota, talking about a survey that they just conducted along with St. Cloud State University, talking about some different campaign reforms. And I want to move on and talk about public financing of campaigns, as nearly 6 in 10 Minnesotans support increased partial public financing of political campaigns to reduce the dependence on private funding by special interest groups, while 37% oppose increasing public financing. So, got to be honest, George, that kind of surprised me that 37% of people were against the idea of increasing public financing of campaigns. And I'm wondering at maybe perhaps it's a case where people think, well, I don't want my tax dollars going to support these dirty political campaigns. But as I'm sure you can explain, publicly financed campaigns are actually better for democracy, right?
Oh, without doubt. If we are going to end special interest domination of campaigns, there has to be a public financing component. And I was kind of encouraged by the percentage here, because there's always been a long-standing opposition to using tax money to support political campaigns. And in this case, 58% said that they would support using tax dollars to fund political campaigns, and I thought that was impressive. There's a lot of different ways to do it, obviously. One that I thought was interesting was a bill submitted last session by Representative Long and Senator Carlson. And it didn't get a hearing, but it would have provided vouchers, or as we like to call them, democracy dollars, of $100 to each registered voter that they would then use to send to candidates in any way that they thought was appropriate. The House bill had 37 co-sponsors, I believe. So there was quite a bit of interest in it. And other states have other avenues, like a 6-to-1 match from tax money to individual contributions. New York, L.A. Do that. And New York, I think, does it for $175 or less. You could get a match. So, and or tax credits for small donors is another approach. There's a lot of ways to go at this, but it's absolutely the most important thing we can do while Citizens United is still the law of the land.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with that. The public financing of campaigns is something that we could really use to increase, because that not only helps our democracy in general, but really it can be beneficial to some of these candidates who don't quite have access to some of these mega donors. And I think it's better for politicians, too, where they don't have to spend all of their time fundraising. If we actually had a system where campaigns were publicly financed, well, our politicians could actually go talk to people rather than just fundraising 24/7, which is pretty much the situation now, especially at the federal level. But it's been shocking to see how that's really trickled down to even to some of these state legislative races, where you have millions of dollars being poured into some of these local races, especially I think it was Senate District 34, that Warren Limmer race, which had millions of dollars poured into it. And yeah, if you publicly finance campaigns, well, then we no longer have to have our elected officials relying on big-time donors and trying to fundraise 24/7.
That's exactly right. And I think the Limmer campaign attracted $1.5 million.
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
Contributions. It's just, well, it's very unfortunate.
I was going to say, and that's only for a district that has about like 78 or maybe 80,000 people. $1.5 million going to a district that has less than 100,000 people is just mind-blowing to think about, at least from my perspective. All right, George, let's move on to another question you guys asked on your survey that had to do with redistricting, which is something that, of course, is going to happen after this year with the new census data that's going to be released. Of course, our political districts are going to look a lot different in the coming decade. And on the question of how to redraw political district lines, almost two-thirds of Minnesotans, 65%, prefer the creation of an independent citizens commission to draw those maps, while only 13% preferred keeping the current approach where district lines are drawn by state legislatures. So at least here in our state, George, we haven't quite had the same number of problems that other states have had with redistricting and gerrymandering. And that's more due to the fact that each year we've had a census, Minnesota has had divided government. But should we ever have a situation where one political party controls the governor's mansion and both chambers of the legislature, gerrymandering could be an issue in our state. So what should we be doing here in Minnesota to make sure we never run into something that's happened in states like North Carolina and Wisconsin, which are heavily gerrymandered now? What do you think we need to do in our state?
Well, we can just learn a lesson from Wisconsin. When they redrew maps in 2011, they had one party in control of the legislature and the governor's office. And the result was maps that were, in fact, gerrymandered, and I think that's pretty much recognized nationally. And it turns out that in 2018, one party had about 40-some percent of the vote statewide for the assembly, and they ended up with close to 60% of the seats in the assembly. Well, that's classic gerrymandering, and it means that a lot of citizens in Wisconsin simply didn't have a legitimate vote. It's just not democratic, and it's cheating in order to win. So we don't want that to happen here. As you said, we've been pretty lucky because of deadlock. Map drawing has gone to the courts, and they've done a pretty reasonable job. But legislators have an inherent conflict of interest in drawing maps. They draw them to favor themselves or their political parties, and it's just too much to ask them not to do that based on a set of principles. Now, we favor an independent commission. Right now, the Constitution in Minnesota provides that the legislature has to do the map drawing. So the best we can do is a recommendation from a citizen commission. Although last session, one of the bills also proposed a constitutional amendment to have a truly independent commission decide the maps. And I suspect that will pop up again next year. And it did get a hearing, and hopefully that might be acceptable again. I'm being optimistic on the small difference in the Senate between the two political parties, and thinking that there might be some sort of compromise.
Yeah, and you would think at some point the political parties would realize that we could end up getting bit by this if a certain election year ends up not going our way, and that almost became the case for Republicans, or as you said, they were one seat away from having, well, a Democratic trifecta in our state where it could have been the DFL gerrymandering districts if they had chosen. They were only one seat away from having that happen. So a couple more questions for you here, George, before we wrap things up. Are there any states that we can use as possibly like a model for coming up for some of these nonpartisan commissions that can redraw district lines? I know there's a few states that actually do that, but are there any that we could possibly follow in Minnesota and try to model our system off of what they do?
Well, the two that come to my mind are California and Arizona. California actually has an independent commission. Their constitution permitted that. And so it's really all set out there. And bills that were offered last session, there were two or three. It picked up on the setup that they used in California. It's not extremely complicated. You know, you have to pick a commission, which gets into how much politics are going to get involved in that, and whether you're going to allow political leaders to appoint people to the commission or not. But yes, the models are out there. There's several, and they're working. It's certainly a model that would permit us to easily adapt it to the situation in Minnesota.
All right, George, we are just about out of time, but I do got to ask you one more question before we wrap things up. What can people do to get involved with some of these reforms that you're proposing, and how can they help out with your group, Clean Elections Minnesota?
Well, our website is cleanelectionsmn.org. You can find out there exactly what's going to be proposed this next session. You can become familiar with the legislature website and how to use it to contact legislators and to take a look at legislation that's been proposed. We will be highlighting the bills that we think are important next session, as well as the hearings and who you can send your comments to. It's extremely important. And legislators are actually pay attention if they get about six emails on a particular issue. They do listen, and that's what we have to do. We have to be organized enough to, and have we have about 500 supporters that we ask to participate each legislative session. We'd sure like to have additional people on our mailing list, and you can do that through our website. So join the battle. We'd love to have more people.
And I loved what you said right there as well, where it only takes, about six people to send an email to a legislature about a certain topic, and, well, they're probably going to pay attention to you. Six is not a very big number, so yeah, get yourself and maybe a few family members and friends involved, and maybe you can get the attention of some of the members of the state legislature. And we've been speaking with George Beck from Clean Elections Minnesota. He is the chair, of course, of that group. Clean Elections Minnesota is also the chair of the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board and is a retired administrative law judge. Talking about this survey go ahead, George.
Brett, I was the chair of the Campaign Finance Board.
Oh, gotcha. All right. I was going to say, yeah, you're a busy person if you're the chair of both of those groups. Former chair, I got you. Appreciate the correction on that. I got to make sure we get those right. Hey, we were talking about the survey that you guys just recently conducted, though, in conjunction with St. Cloud State University, talking about these election reforms. And highly encourage, as George was saying, you know, make sure you email your legislatures about these things. It doesn't take a whole lot of people to get the attention of some of those members. George, I really appreciate the time today going through this survey and some of the reforms you guys are proposing. Thanks again for joining me.
Brett, thank you so much. You have a great program and a real public service.